and so on to let you know who they were, and so you'd be nice to them, all right? Because I know how you usually are with visitors, so we want to do it that way. All right, we're going to look at the book of Job this morning. If you need an outline for it, they're on the table in the back, and you can follow along on the outline if you so desire. And we're in the book of Job, and chapter number 23. Job chapter 23. For some reason, for a minute, that didn't seem right, but I think it is. Job chapter 23. And we have now Job answering the third speech of Eliphaz, if you remember that. Three of the friends of Job have come to comfort him, and they've been miserable comforters. We went through round one. We went through round two. In chapter 22 began the third speech of Eliphaz to Job. And in chapter 23, Job responds to Eliphaz's third round of comments. Again, Job sitting in ashes and scraping himself with a potsherd, and has his three friends there that are just accusing him of some great sin that he must have committed for the hand of God to be on him in such a way. And Job has examined himself, not claimed to not be a sinner, but just said, I have nothing in me that has caused the hand of God to do this to me. Job is bewildered. He doesn't know why it's happening. The three friends are determined they know. And it's because Job has been such a hypocrite. Outwardly, he was helping people, supposedly, but behind the scenes, he must have been doing something very terrible for this judgment of God to fall upon him. And of course, you and I know the beginning chapters of Job and know it wasn't his sin but his righteousness that caused this to come upon him. So we need to be careful in judging people many times when the hand of God is upon them, or seemingly it might be that God has allowed the devil to go after them. And again, these folks that talk about sickness always being a result of sin need to read their Bibles. It's not always that way. It's not that way in Job's life. It's not because he sinned, but because he's righteous that he was allowed to be tested. So we're in Job chapter 23 this morning, and we find again Job's response to Eliphaz. Beginning in verse number 1 and 2, we see the pain of the sufferer. Job answers in verse number 2 and says, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Even today is my complaint bitter. We can easily point a finger at Job, but we have to understand that in the condition he's in, he has a complaint. And his complaint is between him and God because it's a misunderstanding. He doesn't understand why God, he thinks, is doing this to him. And we would also say why God is allowing this to happen to him. But Job has a complaint, and his complaint is before God. He's going to say, oh, that I might stand before him. And I would voice my complaint, and I would hear what he would answer me. Job is not sinless through this. In the beginning chapters, when the devil strikes him, it says in chapter 2 and 3, in all this Job sinned not with his lips. But it doesn't say that again after chapter 3. Because Job does begin to question God and question his goodness after that. But he still does not commit any error worthy of what he's doing. But in verse 2 he says, even today is my complaint bitter. I like the end of verse 2. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. You say, why do you like that? Because I know so many people whose groaning is much heavier than their stroke. I know a lot of people, they get sick, and boy, do they moan, and boy, do they whine, and boy, do they complain. And Job simply says this, I've been stricken, I've been smitten, but my groaning is nothing compared to the suffering I'm going through. Whereas, as some people, I'm not a good sick person. Hopefully I don't groan and all that, but sometimes you get sick and you exaggerate things just a little bit. You overplay the drama of being ill. And Job says, I'm not like that. He said, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. It's a very funny thing when people get a little bit sick and act like they're ready to go to the morgue. You know, and just act like this is it. Death is on its way. It's about to come. And Job says, in the condition, in the physical condition he is closer to the morgue than any of us have probably ever seen in a time of illness. And yet still he says, my stroke, my suffering, my pain is heavier than my groaning. He's not letting on how bad it really is. That's a mark of good character. That's a mark of good character. When you don't let on how bad it really is. So Job is talking about the pain that's involved in his suffering. In verse 3 through 9, he talks about the pursuit of the sufferer. The pursuit of the sufferer. Job says in verse 3, the verse I just referred to, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and would understand what he would say to me." Job just has a desire to talk to God. He wants to communicate. It's a sincere, heartfelt thing. It's not an atheistic or not an antagonistic spirit that Job has. He's just saying, "I'd just like to know why this is happening." Now, I don't think most of us would point a finger at Job and find much fault with that, because most of us have been through a lot less severe circumstances and still said, "God, if I could just know why." But you know, the Lord doesn't always tell us why. He doesn't always show us why. Job said that though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And a lot of times the trials that we get, we don't understand why. One of these days we can ask him about it. And you know, here's the I don't want to say hypocrisy, here's the whole thing. Right now we say, "Boy, I can't wait to get to heaven and I'll ask him why this and why that and why." And you know, when you get to heaven, you won't even remember those things. I mean, to be in the presence of the glory of God with such glory in front of you, you're not even going to remember the things that seem to be so important and so troublesome down here on earth. So Job says, "Oh, that I might knew where I'd find him." Well, he did. He found out later. But I bet he didn't ask those questions. Because one's getting on the other side, we don't look at the things back here like we do right now, being limited to being on this side. And so Job talks about his pursuit of wanting to know God. Job wanted to know God. He wanted questions. His desire in verse number 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." It's a great desire that I knew where I might find him. You know where you can find God right now? Right here. Now, I'm not talking about those that are sick this morning, but you're not going to find God at home. You're not going to find God out on the lake. You're not going to find God out in the woods. Not on Sunday morning. You know, people tell me, and you probably hear the same thing, "Well, you know, I worship God wherever I'm at." No, you don't. Quit deceiving yourself. If you're not in church on Sunday morning, that's the place where Christians worship God. And if you're not there on Sunday morning, you can tell yourself all you want to, you're worshiping God. You're not. You say, "How do you have the audacity to say that?" Well, that comes from the authority of the Word of God. If on Sunday morning, I mean, the Bible says the first day of the week the disciples gathered together and breaking of bread and all, and fellowship and all that kind of stuff, it happened on the first day of the week. And that's the pattern that's set. And now Christians meet on the first day of the week. And the Lord established the church and put officers in the church and a means of giving. And God took the time to organize all that. And when you disregard that and say, "Well, I'm worshiping God wherever I'm at." No, you're not. Now again, illness is a different situation. You know, being prohibited from being there for one reason or another is different, but just not the desire. Job had the desire to be where God was and to know what was going on. And he said, "Oh, that I might knew where I might find him." You know, you'll figure out God a lot better if you're faithful to him. You know, a lot of people have a lot of questions about God, but they don't want to go to church to find the answers. And so why is God obligated to answer that? If you neglect what he established as his form and his way of doing things, if he established that and commands you to be obedient to it, you know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, you forsake that and say, "Well, I've got a lot of questions." Well, you'll die with a lot of questions. Because until you become obedient to God, God's not obligated to do anything. And so Job says, that I knew where I might find him. The end of verse 3, "That I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." His design. He has a desire that I knew where I might find him. His design. I want to find him so I can come before him. I want to come and I want to ask him questions. I want to ask him, "What about the heathen that have never heard?" Now, that might not have been Job's question, but that's a lot of people's question. Where did Cain get his wife? You know, all these big theological deep things. How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? You know, all these big things. Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? You know, and there's no answer to that. Yes, he can. Well, then he's not omnipotent. No, he can't. Well, then he can't create anything. And, you know, those are the questions that fill men's mouths. Now, Job isn't being sarcastic in that. He's just saying, my design is to be able to stand before God and ask him why these things are happening, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. And again, the arguments are not just arguing with God, but saying, God, why? Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you do this? You know, why is there starvation? And of course, a lot of these things we know the answers to. They come from the Word of God. But Job didn't have that benefit. It's the oldest book written in the Bible. He didn't have Genesis to look at. Okay, so that's his design. Verse 5 through 7, his deliverance. I'm talking about the pursuit of the sufferer. He desires deliverance. Verse 5, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered. There's his deliverance. I should be delivered forever from my judge. God simply says that if I could stand before God, he'd answer my questions. I would know the answers. I would be at peace. I would have comfort. One of these days we'll have all the answers. Sorry for the fellow that thinks in this life he's got all those answers, because they just lead to more discomfort. But Job has the assurance that one of these days his deliverance is going to come. Maybe not in this life. Maybe he's going to die in this condition. He seems to feel that way. But at the same time, he says, when that deliverance comes, and when I get to stand before God, and when I get to hear what he would answer me. Now, he's heard what his three friends have been saying for 22 chapters. But he says, when I would hear what he would say to me, then I'll be delivered. And so Job is looking forward in pursuing the knowledge of God, and pursuing the understanding of what he's going through. We get down to verse number 8, and he talks about the disappointment. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job speaks about his disappointment, that where he is at that point in his life, he can't find God. He looks all around, he can't find him. In the midst of his despair, in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his trials, he says, I wish that I knew where his seat was. I wish that I could come before him and ask him these questions. But right now, I'm in such a condition where I can't seem to find him. There are times in our life where the heavens seem to be brass, where God seems to be not paying any attention into it, to our trials, our tribulations, our the difficult situations of our life. But we have the assurance of the Word of God that God's not afar off. He's always a God that is near to us. It's just sometimes our sin causes him to be afar off. And sometimes our response to our troubles or trials, he's just testing us. That's what's happening to Job. He's not punishing him, he's trying him. Job says, when I am tried and when I come forth, I'll be as gold. And so he's disappointed because he says, wherever I go and search for God, I can't find him. There are a lot of people today that can't find God because they're not looking in the right places. They're looking for I'm trying to not roll over into what I'm going to preach on this morning. They're looking for life in dead places. They're looking for God in places where they're not going to find him. There's a place to find God. And that, again, is in church. That is around Christian people, godly people. That's where you find the Lord. You're not going to find the Lord in a lot of places that people are looking for. Sad to say, they're not going to find the Lord in a lot of churches where you should be able to find him. Because the emphasis is on a lot of different things, and there's no seeking of God. But Job says, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job has the assurance that one of these days he'll stand before God, he'll get his questions answered, but right now is not that time. Right now is the time to plunge forward. Right now is the time to just keep going and keep serving. You wonder why God doesn't do this and why God does do that. Well, let those questions remain. Just keep serving God. You know, the best thing to do with those questions is just keep reading your Bible. Because a lot of times you'll read, I didn't have a pen with me, but I was reading in Ecclesiastes last week, and I found two verses that God just put in there. They weren't there last time I read through Ecclesiastes. There were two different verses, and I wrote them down on a piece of paper. I said, when I get back to my office and get my red marking pen, I'm going to underline those, because God just supernaturally inspired and put those in since the last time I read through Ecclesiastes. I've been through there several times. And these verses, just two of them in one place and then half a verse in another place, just jumped out at that. You know what that is? That's God just saying, you just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. I'll show you what you need. I'll give you what you want. And so what a blessing it is. And Job just needs to understand, all right, I'm in a situation, I'm in a trial where it seems like God is far off. I know one of these days I'll stand before Him. I know He'll answer my questions and I'll be at peace and calm. But this isn't that time right now. I don't see Him anywhere around. But Job remains faithful. One example, and this from a man who doesn't have a Bible to go to. This from a man who has no scriptures in his hand. In Job's day, nothing yet was recorded or written. And so their knowledge of God was only what came by the law of nature into them. And yet Job had that assurance. So we talk about the pursuit of the sufferer. Verse 10 through 12. Verse 10 through 12, the performance of the sufferer. By performance, I'm not talking about a contemporary church. I'm not talking about somebody getting up and swaying back and forth and singing with a microphone. I'm talking about a labor, a work, a performing of something. And it says the conduct, I guess would be another word, but the performance of the sufferer. Job is saying in verse number 10, he's defending his performance. He is defending what he is doing before the Lord, the defending of his performance. The Lord will defend him. Verse number 10, He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There's your precious promise through the trial. That when He shall try me, when I come forth, I shall be as gold. No one really understands what you're going through but God. There can be somebody, some other human being that's been through the same thing, but it's never the same. And you need to remember that not only when you're going through it, but when you're trying to be a comfort to somebody else. Don't try to tell people, you hear this all the time, I know what you're going through. Don't throw that cloak out there, because you don't know what every person's situation is different. And when somebody's going through something, they don't want to hear it being trivialized as, oh yeah, I went through that. You know, again, I've said this, so many people say, well, I'm just like Job. Give me a break. There's nobody I've ever met that suffered anywhere close to what Job has suffered through. Oh, I can sympathize with Job because I... No, it doesn't work that way. And so everybody's trial is different. The best thing we can do is encourage them in that trial. You know, if they want to air things out and discuss things, that's fine. But I just caution you. Don't say, I know exactly what you're going through. I hear people say that, and I think you don't know what you're saying. Because no two situations are exactly the same. You know, whether it's financial troubles, home troubles, this or that. The best thing you can do is say, brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm going to pray for you. God knows what you're going through. God can comfort you. God can give you the answers. God can bring you through. And Job says, He knows the way that I take. Job had the confidence to know that he wasn't in grievous error. He wasn't pursuing some kind of tremendous sin that caused it. He said, God knows my heart. He knows the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Just keep pushing through. That's what Job's talking about. The defending of his performance. In verse 11 and the first half of verse 12, the dependability in his performance. The dependability, he said in verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. When everything caves in around you, keep serving God. When everything goes south, that's a good expression for us Yankees, when everything goes south, that means it's terrible. It's rotten. It's ungodly. That's what south means. When everything, say that for our guests tonight. When everything goes south, when everything turns bad, just keep serving God. When everything goes bad and you're tempted to throw in the towel, throwing in the towel is not going to increase your relief. It's going to multiply the problem. And so Job simply says in this, he says, my foot has held its steps. His way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from His commandment. He was dependable. Like Paul, he could say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's the thing. It doesn't go easy for anybody. Bob Jones Sr. said, the best ability is dependability. And that is just keep doing what you're doing. Keep serving God. Let people shoot their arrows. Let situations come. Let let whatever God allows in our pathway, just keep going. And Job said he was going to be like that. The last half of verse number 12, the devotion in his performance. In the last half of verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I know you hear me quote that an awful lot of times around here, but that's because I believe it. I believe that the words of his mouth are more important than our necessary food. And Job is indicating his devotion. You know what kind of food Job liked? He liked soul food. He said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We eat our meals. We have to feed the body. We have to take care of that flesh. But how much more do we need to feed the soul? Because whichever dog you feed gets stronger. You feed the physical man, you feed the carnal man, and the carnal man is going to get strong. And we feed the carnal man without paying any attention to it. He's grubbing through the cabinets when we don't realize he's doing it. Because we, by our nature, by our environment, the circumstances around us, that old man is getting fed all the time. If we don't spend time feeding that spiritual man, we don't have a chance in the world in this life. And so we've got to do it. And Job said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Food is necessary. That's what Job said. And that's true. But so are the words of the Lord. They're more necessary than that food is. And Job tells us about the devotion in his performance. Verse 13 and 14. The providence for the sufferer. The providence for the sufferer. God will take care of those that are faithful to Him. You be faithful to Him. I mean, Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trusting the Lord with all your heart, that part's not real bad. That's not real hard. But the lean not unto thine own understanding, that's a tough one. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The hardest part in that whole thing is lean not to thine own understanding. Because a lot of times we know exactly how God could deliver us from the situation we're in. You know, we know that if it's a financial thing, well, God, if you would just help me, you know, if I'm fueling up at Speedway, I find the lottery ticket, because you wouldn't buy one, I find the lottery ticket laying in the parking lot that is the winner. That's how you could take care of it. And for some reason, God doesn't choose that method. He doesn't choose that way. So it's not leaning to our own understanding. And we need to trust in God to do it. And so in verse number 13, Job talks about the person of providence. Verse 13, notice this. But he is of one mind. Who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Verse 14, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. He's the person of providence. He's the one that's going to take care of it. It's not going to be you. The nature of man is to take care of himself. The nature of man is to work out his own problems, manipulate his own situation. And it's not that we aren't supposed to labor and all that. You know what I'm talking about in this. But there has to be a reliance upon God to take care of these things. And Job says about those things, he says, I understand his providence. He is of one mind. Who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed, and many such things are with him. The person of providence. The end of verse 13 is the pleasure in providence. And I like this. What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. God does what pleases him. I don't have a problem with that. You say, why not? As a father, I do what pleases my children when it's right. I don't do it if it's wrong. Sometimes they don't always understand the difference between the two. My Heavenly Father always does for His child what is right and what is good. And sometimes what I think is good for me, He doesn't think is good for me. And so He doesn't give me everything I necessarily want. He doesn't give me everything I desire. He gives me those things that are good for me. And when we can have the confidence and faith in Him that He's giving us what we need and withholding what isn't going to benefit us. God is not a restrictive God that holds back things from us. That's the way an unsaved person looks. Well, you know, if I became a Christian, I got to live by God's rules and regulations. And I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Well, you do want somebody telling you what to do that's a lot wiser than you, because it'll protect you from the pitfalls that you'll fall in on your own. You know, if somebody's got money and wants to increase that money, they go to somebody that knows what they're doing with money. They go to an investment banker. They go with somebody with some expertise in that thing. If not, they can try it on their own, and 9 times out of 10, inexperienced, they're going to fail at it. If you want somebody to take control of your life that's good at it, it's the Lord. You want somebody that's not good at it, it's you. And so Job says simply, he says, what his soul desireth, even that he doeth, the pleasure in providence. Verse number 14, the plan in providence. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Providence shows the plan of God. And the plan of God is always good for us. Nothing happens by accident. Sometimes the Lord opens one door and shuts another. Not an accident. Sometimes the Lord opens two doors at the same time to give us a little test. But nothing is by accident. We have a loving God. We have a good God. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father who's always out for our best interest. And it benefits us to communicate with our Father. We don't want that silence. We don't want that generation gap to come between us and our Heavenly Father. He's been around for a long, long time. He's seen a lot of things happen. He's dealt with people a lot more stubborn than you and I. And he's dealt with people a lot less stubborn than you and I. And he knows how to take care of everybody. He's got a monkey wrench that'll fit every nut in Cambridge, Ohio. And he can take care of the problems. He can do what he's going to do. And we just need to trust him to do it. Job said, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Verse 15 down through verse 17. We talk about the sufferer in this chapter, and Job talks in verse 15 to 17 about the perplexity of the sufferer. It is a difficult thing to go through trial. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be called a trial. Tribulation is not something you look forward to. But God allows those things to teach us and to purify us and many times to restore or build our faith in Him. Job has been allowed, or the devil has been allowed to touch Job's body. Job is bewildered by the whole thing. He's perplexed. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't know it. But he talks about it in verse number 15, about the cause of this perplexity in verse 15. He says, therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. Fear of God is a good thing. I don't fear God like every step I take, I'm scared to death. God is going to send a bolt of lightning. It's not that kind of fear. You know when I do fear God? When the temptation comes and is right there in front of me and I'm considering whether or not to yield or not to yield. That's when the fear of God is very evident before me. And I look or listen or whatever that temptation is, I confront it and I think, God, you're watching right now. And the angels of heaven are watching right now. And the devil himself is watching right now. He's the accuser of the brethren. And right now is an opportunity either for me to give glory to God or to embarrass my Heavenly Father and give the devil an opportunity to say, see, look at that. If he's really a child of God, if he's really a Christian, if he really loves you the way he says, why is he doing this? Why is he listening to that? Why is he watching this? Whatever the thing might be. And Job says about that, he said, when I'm troubled at his presence, when we think of what God can do and what he will do, when I consider, I am afraid of him. Again, I did not fear my earthly father, except when I crossed him. My dad was a good dad. He was a loving father. I had no problem. We played ball together. We did a lot of things. But there was a limit. And if I did things that didn't please him, I was in trouble. And though he was not, I was a kid then, but he wasn't a big man. He wasn't as tall as I am. He still gave me enough reason to fear him. And that's the example of Scripture, that our Heavenly Father is not waiting for us to mess up so he can nail us. He wants us to enjoy his fellowship and continue on without ever having to chastise us. But when he has to, he's not afraid to do it. We need to be afraid of causing him to have to chastise us. The chastisement of God is not God's fault. His chastisement is our fault when we do the wrong thing. So Job talks about the cause for the sufferer. Verse number 16, the character of the sufferer. Verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. God's correction and chastisement will trouble us and humble us. And that's what we all need. We need to be humble. We need to be taken down a peg. We need to remember that God is God and we're not. And Job simply says, God maketh my heart soft and the Almighty troubleth me. Verse 17, the complaint of the sufferer. The complaint. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Job again in his deep despair talks about how he'd been preserved for his troubles. In verse 17, I was not cut off. Remember Job said at one time, oh, I wish that I was an untimely birth that had never been. That my mother's knees had prevented me, that I'd never seen light. His suffering was so great. In that area, he wasn't openly accusing God. He's just saying, I wish I'd been delivered, but no, I've been preserved for my troubles. God's kept me alive to go through this because I was not cut off before the darkness. He also says he's not been protected from his troubles. The end of verse 17, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Job varies as sometimes his faith shines through, as sometimes his frailness shows through. And God allowed that to happen because he knows you're the same way. He knows I'm the same way. We have moments where our faith just glows. We have moments where our weakness shows itself. And Job showed both of these things as he suffered and endured the chastisement, not of God, but of the devil upon him for his righteousness. Next week we'll go into chapter 24 as Job continues to answer this third accusation of Eliphaz. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for how alive and powerful and good it is. Father, we pray you'd help us to be readers of your word and doers of your word. Father, thank you for the life of Job and the testimony that's set forth. Father, may we learn from his errors, and Father, also learn from his good ways. And Father, may it increase our devotion to our God and our faithfulness to him. Bless our morning service and those that come to join us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've got about 13 minutes till we begin our morning service.